Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Before we get to the activity that Texan fans, the new hobby that Texan fans have after the draft was over, Seth, you were about to tell a story about how Tom Coughlin screwed you out of a six-figure check.
Oh, yeah, and it wasn't really him, but it was I like all these people involved, these people that just screwed me the money out of the money. But
what'd they do to you, man?
It was, well, this is actually, do you remember Mike Maccagnan, the GM of the Jets?
I do.
I think one of the things that this is probably a feather in his cap on his rise up through the scouting ranks. 1997, draft's going on, and in the third round, Tom Coughlin liked me, wanted to draft me in the third round, and Mike Maccagnan, who was like a young, like just a area scout or whatever the rank is there. He's a young scout at the time, but he had been the one who was scouting me. He told Coughlin, I think he'll be there in the fourth round. And Coughlin was like, you better be right. You better be right. And like Coughlin's, you know, it's kind of a scary guy. And Mike Maccagnan was like, I really think he's going to be there in the fourth round. So Coughlin's like, all right, we'll wait until the fourth round. And I got drafted in the fourth round instead of the third round.
Okay.
So Mike Maccagnan, awesome dude, screwed me out of $100,000 or so, I'm guessing.
I think he lives in Houston, actually.
I'm going to have to go talk to Mike. Yeah. I'm going to show up at his house.
He
told me the story.
He did?
So it wasn't, yeah, I mean, I'm joking about it. But it was, I'm honestly, it's a ballsy move because Coughlin's, he's scary, man. He's really, really scary, especially when you're a young scout. So Mike Maccagnan gauged the market, right?
So that would have been the 79th pick overall. I'm looking at what picks Jacksonville had in the third round that year. They had the 79th pick overall, which would have been James Hamilton, linebacker.
Yeah, Big Ham. University of Virginia, right?
Let me look. Hang on. North Carolina.
Oh, whoa.
North Kakalaki.
Who'd they draft from Virginia? I thought we had a guy. He was from Virginia.
Okay.
He was from Virginia.
Okay, yeah.
Please? Is that the correct thing?
He was born in Hartford, Connecticut. But he went to high school in Richmond,
Virginia.
North Carolina.
Oh, all right. You know what? It was Rich. I remembered Richmond,
okay,
I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go with that. No, and plus, I don't know. My signing bonus was.
Oh, yeah, Big Ham.
He was tall. How tall was he, Sean?
I'm checking right now to see if he was tall.
To see if he was
actually. Oh, yeah, no, dude, for a linebacker?
Yeah.
6'5", 243.
Yeah, and I don't want to – and he wasn't – like, we ran a 4.3. It wasn't a 3.4, you know?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he was an outside linebacker. Yeah. Or like a 3.4 outside linebacker.
Right.
No, but I think my signing bonus was $219,000. So he probably—I don't think I got screwed out of $100,000.
Oh,
but
yeah,
probably
yeah,
like
not
50,
for
50,000 or so.
Yeah, maybe. Still,
no.
That's enough for if I were to meet Maccagnan for the first time, I would be like, "Hey, man, you can at least buy me a drink or something. You cost me,
yeah, what the hell,
G's.
Man?
Yeah,
No, it was it really. I think you know Coughlin is kind of like Parcells was always known as this. Like they don't want you know they come off like bullies at times, but they actually don't want. They want guys who aren't going to allow themselves to be bullied.
Right.
You know, like part of like Parcells' whole thing was like he was going to bully you and you were going to show to him that you're not a guy to be bullied. And but at the same time, be a respectful rookie. It is very stressful. Very stressful.
It is, man. That's a tough spot to land on. You know what I mean?
Like, kind of aggressive mind bleeding.
Standing
going
up for yourself,
there.
But respectful. Oh, like that's a.
Dude, that whole Parcells tree, man, that's what they thrive on. Yeah. They just want to screw with your brain and make you feel desperate for approval all the time. Like, just desperate. Like, I gotta do something. I gotta work harder. I'm gonna get cut. Oh, okay.
some guys thrive under that. I don't, that's tough.
No, Ted and I used to talk about what it was like at the end of the season after playing for Belichick or Coughlin. It's like you walk out of the building after that last day when you clean out your locker and you're like, oh my God, I didn't realize how
Andy Dufresne shirtless in the middle of the bayou with the rain falling on his face.
Meanwhile, you've got like bare spots on your scalp from all the hair that's been falling out in the clumps.
Splotches on your body.
I used to get so sick every year at the end of the season. Only in Jacksonville, only when playing for Coughlin. Oh. I would get like deathly ill the first week after the season because my body would just finally let its guard down.
That's wild, man. That is wild. Here was Nick Caserio, Texans GM, who, by the way, joins us tomorrow at 7:30 on the program. So we'll talk about the draft and all kinds of stuff with Texans GM Nick Caserio. He was asked a question about the Deshaun Watson trade and looking back and seeing what you've got for Deshaun Watson now. And here's what he had to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's so far in the past. I mean, you guys are keeping track of that. I mean, we haven't spent one day, second, talking about, like, here's the end result. So we're just adding football players to the team with the opportunities that we get, regardless of what trade took place. I mean, D'Amico and I have talked about this. We talked about it before the draft. If we have to go out there and play a game, if we had to go out there and play a game before the draft, we felt that we'd be competitive. So in the end, it's just each year you have an opportunity to add players to your team. However you acquire the assets, you acquire them. And there's no, I mean, specific formula. So that's for you all to talk about. Honestly, like, we probably haven't spent time on it since we did the trade however many years ago.
Well, Nick, much like draft grades, we're about to talk about it, so we will.
Well, plus, by the way, it had been widely reported that this was the end of all of the draft picks after Cade Stover had that fourth traded to the Eagles and then back to the Texans. There's still a fifth out there.
There's still a fifth from the Stephon Diggs trade. If you trace the lineage of the 23rd pick, there's still a fifth from the Stephon Diggs trade next year. That's the lens I choose to look at it through. I hope they just keep flipping these picks so there's always one pick that has like a chromosome attached to the Deshaun Watson trade.
It would be way, 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 way too laborious to go over like all the transactions, but just to name the names. Yeah. And some of these are like, you know, packaged, like one of the Deshaun Watson picks packaged with something else or whatever. But like it did lead to John Mechie, Kenyon Green, Christian Harris, Thomas Booker, Damian Pierce, Will Anderson, Kalen Bullock, Tank Dell, Kamari Lassiter, Jamal Hill, and Cade Stover.
And Stephon Diggs, in a way, if
and
you
Stephon
want to,
Diggs,
you know,
yeah.
like, I
yeah.
mean, it's, there's, I've seen three different summaries of what the Texans have gotten from this because of they held probably none of the actual picks from the Deshaun Watson trade. They move back with one. They move up to get Will Anderson. They flip him around and stuff like that. To me, Seth, the biggest thing, and to be clear, like all three permutations of what they got have about 80% commonality. Like Tank Dell's in all of them. Will Anderson's in all of them. Damian Pierce is in all of them. Christian Harris is in all of them. So
he just, like, it just, I the way I think of it is that basically because Sarah trades so much, it's like trying to track an individual dollar bill through your bank account. It's just like it all gets thrown into the aggregate, and it was a lot.
To me, the biggest thing that it allowed you to do in retrospect, and probably in actuality as well, like in terms of just the magnitude of the pick, was that it gave Nick the flexibility and peace of mind to be able to aggressively go after Will Anderson in 2023.
You could go after Will Anderson without bankrupting yourself.
That's right. You had two first-round picks. So you could give up one of your first-round picks, and your own first-round pick, which wound up being the worst of the two. You could do it knowing you weren't gutting your draft in 2024, you know? And so I think that's the biggest thing that they got out of that deal was the flexibility to go get Will Anderson because of all the guys we just listed, right? The 9 or 10 guys you just said, the couple of names extra that I threw in. Will Anderson is ultimately, if you had to ask me, like, okay, who's going to be the crown jewel of all these guys that we just rattled off? There's some good players in there. Obviously, Tank's a great player, and Christian Harris is turning into a nice player. Diggs is very accomplished. He'll probably only be here for a year. And then some other young pieces that are still unproven. Will Anderson is going to be the crown jewel of this whole thing.
So the Will Anderson, the one part from the Deshaun Watson trade was the 2023 first round pick. The other was that was packaged with the 33rd overall and the 2024 first. So it's all those names I just read. I didn't want to mislead anybody into thinking that it was like a one for one trade for all those guys. Like all these are packaged and like Sean said, you know.
Yeah, like without complex. Just put it this way, without the Deshaun Watson trade, a lot of those guys Seth and I just named are probably not Houston Texans. Put it that way. I think it's the easiest way to put it probably. Nick doesn't like going back and looking at it. We do because it turned out to be a really good deal. And by the way, one way to look at it is like, okay, what if Deshaun Watson were actually good in Cleveland? Would we be feeling good about all those names? And I would think just now that C.J. Stroud is here, I would say, yeah, I feel great about that because we may have a better quarterback. We do have a better quarterback right now than Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson has been overpaid and terrible for Cleveland. Like, not only have you gotten all these things, but Cleveland got wiped out in this deal.
I think the big thing would be, all right, I mean, there's a whole lot of ifs here, but what if Deshaun Watson were good in Cleveland, and what if there hadn't been 24 allegations of sexual misconduct against him at some point? Like, if it was just that Deshaun had agitated his way out.
Yeah.
You know, because remember, everybody, just the timeline was, he requested that trade, sounds like the day that Caserio was hired.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was well before any of the news of the allegations came out, and it very much looks like that was before the Texans had any clue about any potential allegations. So then it would have been a much messier situation.
Yeah.
Well, it couldn't not messier, but in terms of just it, then it would have been less forgivable for people to for like people would not have let go on trading Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Know?
It's almost like though, like Mike and Cyfair text in. He's like, we have C.J. Stroud, you know, like that's it's like C.J. Stroud is this cheat code for anything happening with the Texans. It's like, well, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about I don't know.
Yeah.
We have C.J. Stroud. I feel freaking great about everything, you know.
It is one of those things, man, where when you count your blessings instead of your curses, look at how difficult it is to go out and draft a quarterback. You know, no matter who you are, no matter how smart you are, look at how hard it is to go out and draft a quarterback. And yet, somehow, like the Texans actually drafted a very good young and promising quarterback in Deshaun Watson, and then the next GM went out and got an offensive rookie of the year in C.J. Stroud.
That's a great point. It is pretty incredible because you have some of these teams that have been rubbing two sticks together for ages.
Yeah.
You know, the New York Jets, when was the last time they drafted a good quarterback? The Texans drafted two within 6 years of each other, you know?
Yeah.
And I know Deshaun's turned into a quarterback that is, you know, like he's skewing in the wrong direction as a quarterback, independent of all the off the field stuff. He's not played good football in 3 years now. He's not played a lot of football at all, to be honest, in 3 years now through injuries and sitting out in 2021.
He's
man.
Legendary for all the wrong reasons.
He
right
is.
Now.
He wanted
the
to be
L,
legendary.
Big L legendary
big
is what
L.
he's turned into.
Yep. Yeah. We mentioned this earlier, the CBS studio shakeup. Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason both out on the Countdown show. Matt Ryan is in. We didn't mention that. Did you get to experience any of his work this year? He got pretty good reviews.
Didn't he do a Texans game?
Did he do a Texans game?
I thought he did a Texans game, but maybe I'm wrong on that. But I watched games with him. I thought he was all right.
Yeah.
I didn't. It was. He's always just seemed like such a bland guy.
Yeah.
The biggest reservation I have about him was on Hard Knocks Atlanta. He told like an ultimate dad joke and delivered it poorly. So I don't need any more of that in my life. Is he going to be a less interesting Mark Sanchez? I don't want him to be that. Yeah. I'm popping dad jokes all over the place.
I was surprised when I saw yesterday Sims and Boomer out. That was the headline. I'm like, and they're being replaced with Matt Ryan. I'm like, okay.
I like quarterbacks, but I think I like quarterbacks as color analysts more so than in studio guys. Yeah. The problem with the studio shows is that I think former coaches, because everybody except Rex Ryan also is like doesn't want to hurt any of their chances of getting another coaching job. So they're just way too diplomatic about things. And I think most quarterbacks by nature are pretty diplomatic about things.
Yeah.
And that's where I just don't know. So Matt Ryan especially, like, all right, I don't want to hear a bunch of vanilla BS in the studio show. And I feel that's what I expect. But as I said earlier, and as I always say, I have a really bad track record of predicting who's going to be good on television.
Yeah.
People are different in front of a camera, and some of them get more boring, some of them get more interesting.
What's your Brady prediction?
I think Brady's actually going to be pretty good because Brady gets pissed and competitive.
Yeah.
I could see Brady getting angry at quarterbacks while he's doing the game.
That'd
you know,
fun.
Like unlike Romo, because Romo won't go there, and that's where I feel like Romo, aside from when he stopped preparing or knowing things about the game. Like I think sometimes he still holds back sometimes. I don't think Brady's going to hold back because A, Brady will actually prepare for these games, and B, like kind of like what Caserio told us about Belichick. You know, I had said like, I don't know if like the only thing I worry about with Belichick is that if he did color analysts is that sometimes you got to watch a play five or six times to really figure out what was going on. And Caserio's, I think to paraphrase what he said is like Belichick's just a little bit different. Like he sees things in a way that other people just don't see things. Then I got excited. Now I want Belichick to do color commentary.
I think
Brady will be that same way.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the clips of Belichick that have come from the McAfee draft cast. I thought he was pretty good. He and Saban both. That was the thing. I mean, obviously Belichick, I don't know, got fired or, you know, just didn't renew his contract, and Saban retired. And so the immediate thing was, well, both of them are going to go into TV, and people assume that the press conference version that you get of Saban and Belichick is what the TV version is going to be. And they've both done TV before, like in small snippets. Like if Alabama's not in the national championship game, Saban was always at the desk on ESPN, and he was excellent every single time he was on there. Belichick, similarly, anytime he did TV. So I had always felt like this is a nice little gift for us here, getting these
two guys. I think, those two guys, from what I've seen, the clips of them, and I watched the second half of the first round with Saban, like the draft night's kind of, that's almost like, that's throwing somebody right into the fire. That's one of the hardest things to do because you got multiple people at the desk and it's just so many different players that and so many different permutations of what might happen. I thought they both did a really good job.
I didn't get to watch it in real time, the Belichick McAfee cast, but my guess is that it probably was easier for Belichick just because he was the only real expert on that panel.
You got McAfee,
who does college game day, and then you got all his buddies, you know?
Somebody was sitting to his right in a suit. I'm just remembering the visual because I didn't watch much of it at all other than the clips of him telling a couple of those stories.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. And the one of his guys is dressed up like fake Mel Kiper.
I mean, I don't think Belichick needs to worry about getting his touches on that panel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to lean on him. They're going to feed him on that. So if you haven't heard, Matt Ryan in, and then James Brown, Bill Cowher, Nate Burleson, all back. J.J. Watt back part-time on CBS. So salute to Phil Sims, 26-year run, man. With CBS, that's a pretty good run right there. For a guy who got criticized frequently by viewers, that's a good long run for Phil Sims.
He took over the mantle from Dan Dierdorf, where Dan Dierdorf was like the A guy forever, and you just had to wonder why. And then all of a sudden, Sims was the A guy. They're like, no, don't worry, television will be just fine. These executives know what they're doing,
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Did you see any of the pictures on social media this weekend of Mick Jagger just popping up in the wild here in Houston?
I didn't see any of this.
Okay.
So I'm excited to find out what Mick Jagger did out to... What did he do?
So he was the Rolling...
Is he the one that set the turkey leg hut on fire?
Well, I don't know.
With his... Where dancing?
Where was he? So the Stones played NRG Stadium on Sunday, and Mick Jagger went around all day Sunday just exploring Houston. Just like, you know, dress shirt, pants, ball, you know, cap on his head. Mick Jagger just walking around Houston, and he posted a bunch of photos from around the city on social media. And
that's
he
really,
said,
you know what, though? That's nice. It's I like that he's just, when he's not, if you haven't been to a Stones concert, it's incredible.
They crushed it,
what
supposedly.
This guy still does.
80
on stage. I saw him in Phoenix like 15 years ago, and I couldn't believe what he was doing, and he's still doing the same stuff. That was back when he was 65.
Right.
Okay, so he was just out like a tourist.
Out and about
and just checking things out.
So he posted on Instagram, a multi-picture post on Instagram, and the caption was, "Having fun in Houston, looking forward to seeing you all tonight at NRG Stadium." He posted photos Friday of his visit to NASA. So he went to NASA on Friday.
Ooh, I bet he got a private tour there.
Can you imagine being Mick Jagger's tour guide at NASA? That would be so fun.
Yeah, I don't know. What if he's a flat earther, though?
And make it even more fun.
Yeah, blame me. I got that up to the moon, that mate. No. That's the way they talk in England.
Ben? Where's Oi, Ben?
Oi!
Thank you.
Yeah.
He visited a bunch of places on Sunday, okay? Here, he visited Graffiti Park. Have you been to Graffiti Park in Edo?
He took
two photos featuring stunning wall murals, a blue-haired, blue-eyed person donning a futuristic blue suit, and then a person in a red robe surrounded by a dragon. There's these murals.
Oh, yeah. No. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah,
I got you.
The murals down on Chartres Street there, and then Graffiti
Thank
Park.
Thank you for announcing that for me.
Yeah.
Graffiti. I thought it was always Chartreuse.
I used to live, I think, on Chartres. I used to live in those lofts right there by the ballpark. He went to the Houston Ballet.
Did he? Oh, really?
Yeah, photos.
Did he go to a show?
Photos 3 and 4 show Mick Jagger in a dance studio posing with ballet dancers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Connor Walsh, principal dancer with the ballet, shared the photo on his Instagram. Walsh said Jagger stopped by to watch rehearsals of the Mayerling Ballet, which the Houston Ballet will perform in May.
Oh, wow.
So he just went to go watch rehearsals of a ballet there.
That's pretty. Now, they set that up in advance, right? Or does he just say, like, I'm Mick Jagger?
Do you think? Okay. Yeah, like, how recognizable is he to people that might be, like, a security guard at the Houston Ballet?
You know, like, 30 years old.
Right.
Do most 25-year-olds know who Mick Jagger is? They got to.
You would think. That would be the question. Like, okay, do they think he's faking being Mick Jagger, or do they even know who Mick Jagger is, the security guard?
Right. I think there's a lot of 25-year-olds that wouldn't know who Mick Jagger is.
Yeah, I do too.
It's crazy to think, but yeah.
I do too. Because here's the cross-sport analogy.
Yeah.
This would have been like Joe Namath walking around Houston taking pictures all day. And I bet there's a lot of people in their 20s that don't know who Joe Namath is.
Yeah, but Mick Jagger's more famous to everybody than Joe Namath.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make like a cross-sport analogy. You know what I mean? Yeah, like he was Broadway Joe back in the day. You know, he's
Yeah.
Burns bail. You don't like that Joe Namath analogy, I can tell. Burns bail bonds. Jagger went to Burns bail bonds. I don't know if he needed an actual bail bond if he got into trouble at the ballet.
I bet that was some of that stuff was, I bet, just driving. When they're driving around, like as you're leaving the ballet, if they were going out towards 45 or something, or no, what?
He 59? It says Jagger shared a photo of him standing outside a small yellow building with the address 609 Houston Avenue. That's the location of Burns Bail Bonds, one of numerous bail bond services in Houston. That's right there, Houston Avenue, just like south of Washington there. There's a bleep ton of bail bonds places right there.
Oh, all right. So that was after he was leaving the ballet for sure.
Yeah, he's
on his way to. Where does he go next?
Good Company Armadillo Palace. This is the most famous picture that popped up over the weekend of him. This is the one that got shared the most over
the
weekend.
That was another one they were driving right by and we got to get a picture of that. What is that creature? They don't even know what an armadillo is in England.
I think I read that they might have eaten there. I'm not sure. But he posed in front of that gigantic, people know what we're talking about, the gigantic armadillo in Kirby over there. The eyes seem to glow, especially red for Jagger, is what the Chronicle says. The armadillo... Mm. And Texas classics like barbecue and Tex-Mex can be found at the Southern Style. Okay, well, now it's an ad for the Armadillo Palace. So he took a picture in front of the armadillo.
I feel dumb for never having a picture in front of the armadillo.
You don't have
I feel kind of like, you know, like how people who live in New York City have never been to the Empire State Building because, like, what am I, a tourist? I feel like that's the same way. Like, what do I need a picture in front of the armadillo? I see it every day. Nah.
He then took a picture in front of Burger King.
They don't have those in England.
Or a barbecue restaurant next to Burger King.
They don't because the royal family doesn't like it.
They don't like
Burger King? They banned it.
Really?
Yeah, they think that it's
slanders kings?
Yeah. I think they're making fun of the... No, I'm joking, Sean. They've got Burger Kings there.
Yeah. I think it was Goody Company Barbecue he was standing. The Burger King was in the background, but he was
did
leaning...
Did you pronounce it Goody Company?
I just did.
You're
Good Company. What?
I don't know. I've always said Good Company. I say both.
Chimp, gorilla, whatever. Okay.
I'm not making funny. I'm not picking on you.
I'm making a joke. I'm joking. I'm joking. Jagger leaned against a sign that said, "Get saucy with our barbecue crew," with Burger King and Wells Fargo in close view. I think he was at Good Company Barbecue right there.
Hmm.
And he finally got to NRG Stadium, and he did his concert for the people.
I wonder if he even gets nervous before performances anymore. Probably not, huh?
No.
Like, you think before you go and perform in front of tens of thousands of people that you might want to rest and relax beforehand, or he's just out about and down, you know, he goes and plays the same song.
Doing his thing, man.
Forever, and it's all like nothing to him.
Doing his thing.
How old is he?
80.
Wow.
80 years old. Yeah, man. Yep. So Mick Jagger getting after it in Houston over the weekend. The draft, we still got leftover audio from the draft. Xavier Leggett. Xavier Leggett drafted by the Carolina Panthers. Here was Xavier Leggett at his introductory press conference.
Xavier, you woke up a Carolina Panther. Did you have to pinch yourself?
Say it one more time.
So you woke up a Carolina Panther this morning. Did you have to pinch yourself a little bit?
Oh, no, man. I woke up ready, man. I got a call right after I got drafted. He was coming to pick me up at 9:30 in the morning. I told him I'm going to be ready.
You got the call. Because I saw the emotion in your face in the video, but what were those emotions?
Overly excited my whole time, and I really trying to hold my tears in for real, man. I told my folks I wasn't going to crack. I was trying to be tough guy. But, man, I was really over excited.
Exactly.
He needs subtitles.
That was it's like trying to understand somebody from England when they talk.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
This is what I hoped would happen. Yeah. Remember when they had that interview with him at the Senior Bowl and like people were like, "Oh my god, this guy's accent is incredible. He's just so country." After that, I saw some interviews with him and it sounded almost like he was trying extra hard to not sound too low country South Carolina. I think now that he's been drafted to Carolina, I think he's just he can be back to being himself. He doesn't have to try to put on airs or anything. He's just talking the same way he'd be talking at home.
Yeah.
That is country. Can we play that first one again?
Yes, play that. Yeah, Ben, play. I need to hear that one more time.
Up a Carolina Panther. Did you have to pinch yourself?
Say it one more time.
So you woke up a Carolina Panther this morning. Did you have to pinch yourself a little bit?
Oh, no, man. I woke up ready, man. I got a call right after I got drafted. They was coming to pick me up at 9:30 in the morning. I told them I'm going to be ready.
The best part, I think, Ben, have it queued up again. My favorite part of that whole thing is when he asks the reporter to repeat the question. I think it's because he couldn't hear it, but I like to think that it's maybe because, like, whereas we're having a hard time maybe understanding Xavier Leggett's dialect, like he's having a hard time understanding her dialect. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like, yeah. Play it one more time, Ben.
Xavier, you woke up a Carolina Panther. Did you have to pinch yourself?
Say it one more time.
So you woke up a Carolina Panther this morning. Did you have to pinch yourself a little bit?
Oh, no, man. I woke up ready, man. I got a call right after I got drafted. They was coming to pick me up at 9:30 in the morning. I told them I'm going to be ready.
I'm going to be ready. Yeah.
I wonder if maybe the younger folks just don't know the expression pinch yourself. Did you have to pinch yourself? You just don't know exactly what that's, maybe it's not that common anymore.
Yeah. Xavier Leggett knows.
That is a lot like when, I wouldn't say England, but like a Scottish person sometimes, like some of the Scots, when you try to talk to them, I've had conversations where I didn't understand a single damn thing.
Yeah.
I feel like you could have a conversation with him for 10 minutes and not have a damn clue what you were talking about the whole time.
I know. Yeah. He's awesome. Speaking of receivers, here was Malik Nabers. Asked, have you talked to Daniel Jones yet?
I actually did talk to Daniel Jones. He was just like, you know, I'm happy that you're here. You know, we're going to hit the ground running, you know, and then learn. He's going to learn about me. I'm going to learn about him, and we're going to get together.
I know it's very early, but what do you make of him as a quarterback?
I'll wait till I get here to see, you know, all that. I'm just happy to be here. Great organization, you know, here. So I'm just happy to be here.
And Malik Nabers, 6th overall pick, got drafted by the Giants, where Daniel Jones is the QB.
Sounds like you talked to Odell Beckham Jr. about Daniel Jones.
A little bit.
He sounds super excited about going to play for Daniel Jones.
Fired up.
Are there still Giants fans that are team Daniel Jones?
I don't know. Probably. I mean,
of course there are. Yeah,
it's not, it's not zero. But, yeah, it's. I would think he's losing the popularity war right now. I like that he called him Daniel Jones.
Is that what he said?
He did.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I thought he called him James Jones.
Daniel, hey Ben, one more time.
I actually did talk to Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's just a little
Daniel
whatever.
Jones. Yeah.
It gets nervous being up in a press conference sometimes.
You
Sean.
Said Foonsped one time. It's,
yeah,
it happens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That just,
yeah,
it wasn't that the audience just wants to be Foonsped.
Yeah.
Oh, you had that one, did you, Ben? Couldn't find Oi, but you had that one right at the ready.
Okay. Full disclosure, I did not know we had that as a hotkey.
I wonder, you know, the fact that he was like, I just figured he misspoke there. At first I wondered if he actually knew who Daniel Jones was, because some college players know everything about the league, and then there's other guys. Like, remember Ryan Tannehill? When he was on Hard Knocks Miami, didn't even know what the divisions were.
Yeah.
And was just, I mean, this was already when he was in training camp. Yep. It wasn't even on draft day. He was in training camp.
Yeah.
And by then, he still didn't even know what the divisions were, how the league was organized.
It's wild.
Crazy.
It's wild.
Jared Goff didn't know that the sun rose in the east. rise in the east.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that I worry about. Yeah, misspeaking a name is no big deal.
So Malik Nabers, not a total ringing endorsement for Daniel Jones. Here was Joe Shane, the general manager of the New York Giants, when he was asked about Daniel Jones.
You did not take a quarterback in this draft. You did a lot of work before the draft has been reported. You tried to move up, or at least had conversations about moving up for a quarterback in this draft. Where do you consider yourself with the quarterback position now for this year and for the future?
Yeah, I said it in January after the season that, you know, expectation was Daniel would be our starter, and we brought Drew Lock in to be his backup, and Tommy's been the backup. So that's where we are, and I mean, that's where we're going to move forward this season. Daniel's still on contract for 3 more years. So as it sits today, that's where we are.
That's a vote of confidence right there.
That's like, how's the marriage going? Right. Well, it's legally binding. So it's kind of expensive to get divorced these days.
Right.
That's where it is. That's how the marriage is going.
Sarah Fraser, how are Sean and Seth doing as hosts of the morning show? They each have a year and a half left on their deals, you know? So they're doing amazing, right? Or whatever.
I've got 2 months.
I don't know what that is.
Crap.
That was a random number I threw out, by the way. Yeah.
So in line with what we were talking about before, yeah, Daniel, they're in that purgatory where you've got a quarterback that's not even the old the Dalton line, where you've got a quarterback that you feel like is good enough to win with, but not good enough to. I don't know, man. I've just everything about anything anybody makes an argument for anybody in New York, they just make an excuse for them by saying no, everybody else on the team sucks.
Yeah.
Like, well, at some point, there's got to be somebody who also sucks, right? It can't just be that, well, Saquon Barkley is actually much, much, much better. He just doesn't have a good offensive line. All right, Derrick Henry was second in the league in rushing with the worst offensive line in football. All right, Daniel Jones doesn't have a good supporting cast. Yeah, because they run away from him.
Yep.
Because they hate him.
Yep. He's got weird eyes.
He's got crazy eyes.
He's got crazy eyes.
But crazy eyes in that way of, like, the, you know, the guy who's, like, the nice, quiet husband who always does the right thing. But then one day you find out that he's embezzled $78 million
that
from
guy.
The company. Yeah.
That guy. People are mad at me that I said Goody Company before. I've pronounced it both ways. Like, sometimes I say Goody, sometimes I say Good. You know, like, it's Goody. What's wrong with Sean?
I didn't mean to call you out on it. I was just genuinely curious.
No.
I get that stuff wrong a lot.
And I made the chimp gorilla joke out of self-deprecation, not out of sensitivity. Sean, you're butchering the Good Company name. I know. I butchered it. I'm sorry.
You're butchering the good name of the Good Company.
The good name of the Good. Yeah. So there you go. Hey, one more.
I like Goody Company, though, too. Like, if it was spelled with a Y.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Goody Company.
Well, sometimes the E can be pronounced like an E, you know. Sometimes the E's not silent. You never know. Hey, how about Greg Williams taking credit for Cleveland drafting Myles Garrett back in 2017?
You know what you had said, we talked about this yesterday, but I didn't hear it. Let me hear how delusional this weird dude is.
Up until, you know, 2 hours before the draft, okay, we're still in arguments going on there in the draft room, okay, about whether it's Myles or Mitch Trubisky. And finally, you know, I'm going to say 2.5 hours before, you know, they're looking like they're going to settle on Mitch Trubisky. And so right at the 2-hour mark, I said, hey, fellas, I understand that. We've talked this whole thing through. I just want to let you, everybody in here, know I'm going to have a press conference after this and let them know about the conversations going on here about not taking Myles Garrett. It's amazing how we decided all of a sudden to take Myles Garrett, okay, in that situation, and how it's proved out to be since then.
This guy's such a jackass. This guy.
What, so what's his point there?
He was in the war room with Cleveland in 2017.
Yeah. They had
the first overall pick. And everybody in the war room was ready to take Mitchell Trubisky with the first pick. He ended up going number 2 to the Bears in that draft. And Greg, according to Greg Williams, he was the lone voice, it sounded like, in the room that was on the table for Myles Garrett.
And he said that he was and he basically threatened everybody.
They were
that
ready.
He was going to disclose this conversation about how he wanted to take Myles Garrett.
I was the one that wanted Myles Garrett, yeah.
He was the defensive coordinator at the time.
He was, yes.
Not the head coach.
Correct.
This is like, dude, he's such a piece of crap. Like, honestly, I try not to talk about this too much about people, but like the stories about him in New Orleans leaking draft picks while he was the defensive coordinator there or whenever it was, like, just he's just such a weird, awful person.
You can thank Greg Williams, Cleveland.
And then claiming that he was getting letters offering employment for head jobs a few years ago.
Handwritten.
I've got letters.
Yeah.
Like, you've got letters, you stupid old man. Yeah, you dumb, dye your beard black clown.
Yeah, I knew
clown.
You'd like that. I knew you'd like that bit of audio right there.
Pear-shaped loser wearing shooting glasses for whatever God knows what reason. Oh, he's a despicable person.
Sean is working himself into a shoot this morning. That's a wrestling phrase. Am I? Am I working myself into a shoot? Man, y'all are cutting it up. I haven't laughed this much in a while. Thank you.
Now we're going to get the criticism.
A good time.
Seth and Sean just tried.
It doesn't matter.
Lamont accused us of fake laughing the other day, and it was.
We don't fake laugh because there's plenty of times you and I tell jokes that we don't laugh at each other. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
there's
God, yes, yeah. No, but Lamont's point was that when we do our solo podcasts, we don't laugh.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, because we're not Greg Williams. Yeah. We're not psychotic. Hold on a second. Here I am on my solo podcast.
That was,
Sean.
That was one of
the. Did you? Did you hear what they said about Daniel Jones?
That was one of the sillier criticisms I've ever received. All right, day three. Day three picks for the Texans. And I'm talking late day three. Late day three. Sixth, seventh round. Who of the five that they took, sixth, seventh round, will be the surprise contributor for the Texans? They've had at least one. The last couple of years. Who will it be this year? That is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, we've talked a ton about the Texans' first four picks, the two second-rounders, the third-rounder, and then Cade Stover in the fourth round. But they took five guys towards the end of the draft between picks 188 and 249. So the last part of the draft, in about a 50-pick span, they took five guys. They took Jamal Hill, linebacker out of Oregon, Jawar Jordan, the running back out of Louisville, Solomon Bird, the edge rusher from USC, Marcus Harris, defensive tackle, Auburn, and they close things out with Ladarius Henderson, offensive tackle from Michigan. So, Seth, the Texans in the last couple of years have had contributors that they've taken from the sixth round on. Back in 2021, Roy Lopez and Kurt Heinisch both got significant snaps on the defensive line. Now, I'm acknowledging that these were on really bad Texans teams. So,
yeah.
So sixth and seventh rounders and undrafted guys like Heinisch, it's a little easier to get on the field for a team like that than it would be for a team like the one these guys are all about to join, the 2024 Texans. And then from the 2022 draft, the 2023 draft last year, Jared Patterson was a sixth-round pick, and he started a bunch of games and was pretty solid. Toa Toa was a fifth round pick, so let's just look at. I put Toa Toa's name, but I forgot he was a fifth rounder, not a sixth rounder. So
yeah.
They'd had at least one guy, if not a couple, in that late portion of the draft play some snaps for them, significant snaps.
I think, and that's this version of the thing. I'd say one of the better seventh round picks in the history of the Houston Texans was Derek Newton. That's a notable. If it hadn't been for the injuries, especially, I think Derek Newton could have had a nice long career. David Anderson, of course. I mean, you have to go way back. It hasn't been good. It hasn't been. Which I mean, that's how it is for every team. That's like as much as we love to talk about the various, you know, Arian Fosters, who was an undrafted rookie free agent, or other guys. Those are very much the exceptions and not the rule.
Yeah. Texans
drafted Chris Jones, the defensive tackle, in the seventh round. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah,
a completely different Chris Jones than the one who. Was integral in the Chiefs winning these last three Super Bowls.
But that Chris Jones got cut by the Texans and went on to start for the Patriots in a Super Bowl.
That's right. No, that was the year of that. Yeah. The Patriots had like four guys from the Texans that year.
Yeah. So it's
they weren't good enough for the Texans, but they won a Super Bowl with the Patriots. Yeah.
So how about this group? Who do you like out of this group? Again, Jamal Hill and Jawar Jordan in the sixth round. Yep. And then Solomon Bird, Marcus Harris, and Ladarius Henderson in the seventh round.
I'm intrigued by Marcus Harris because Marcus Harris is a guy who's 6'2", 285, so undersized as a defensive tackle, but has a really good knack for getting into the backfield. Had 11 tackles for a loss last year and I think 6 sacks.
He's all SEC.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, very good point. He's going against SEC offensive linemen.
All SEC.
I think he's way more athletic than he tests. It just, like, I watch him on film, and there's elements of him where I'm like, okay, this guy's like a, he looks like an explosive speed demon at times. But then there's other times where, you know, he does, like, you can see the difference between him and some of the, you know, an Aaron Donald type or something, obviously. But, like, if you look at, like, his vertical was, like, the 50th percentile, broad jump, 34th percentile. He's got short arms, like, really short arms. He's undersized, his body weight, and yet he makes stuff happen. So I think they look at the playmaking ability, and they look at, I'm guessing, like, his body tracking scores and everything are way better than his testing scores. There's something there. I think, and more than anything, he's got a knack for making plays against good competition. So if you're gonna use a sixth or a seventh round pick on a guy, by all means, yeah, take somebody that, like, none of these guys usually typically test that well. But if they just show up versus good competition, that's something.
If you're a late-round pick coming to the Texans and you have to play a certain position, I would say defensive tackle would be one where you've got an opportunity to compete. It's not a great position group for them right now.
Opportunity to compete and, yeah, they don't necessarily have guys that you feel like are three down defensive tackles.
Right.
So the guys that end up starting probably are guys that you're going to want to rotate out on second and long and third and long. And Marcus Harris is exactly that type of guy. Athletically, one of the comparisons that comes up is Christian Covington. And that's a lot like how Christian Covington was. And they go, all right, man, there's something here. Let's see if we can use him on passing downs. And Christian Covington hung around a long time. Is he still on a team?
No. He last played in 2022. But he hung around for 7 years as a six-round pick. That's a successful career for a six-round pick.
Oh, for a six-round pick especially. Yeah. I think Marcus Harris could be that guy. Now, I'll say Marcus Harris I think is a lot nastier than Christian Covington. So that part of it I really, really like. So, yeah, I'm intrigued by him. I mean, I'm not going to – he's got – now, the size problem shows up.
Yeah.
Like, there's times where he's on the ground. There's times where he gets blocked out by bigger, stronger guys in the run game. That's where I'd be really, really surprised if he's a three-down player initially. He's going to have to really learn some tricks in the run game, and he's going to really have to develop almost like that Tasmanian devil, like John Randall type of game with spin moves and just constant movement. But he does, like, he keeps his hand. A lot of the stuff that smaller guys have to do, he does already. He's just got to clean up some of the other parts of his game.
Yeah. I was watching some Jamal Hill. I kind of like Jamal Hill. Like the way he runs around.
Yeah, I think the biggest concern I had with him at first was when I saw it, because I wasn't watching that round. I thought they had drafted Jamel Hill, which
she's feisty.
Well, yeah, but I don't. Her tweets are too indecipherable. Right. I didn't want to. Yeah, I can't deal with somebody who tweets the way Jemele Hill tweets.
Someone says Harris is the same size as Rankins, could be good interior pass rusher. I mean, if he provides you anything as the 247th overall pick in the draft, you're laughing. You know, like these.
Wait a second.
What?
Sheldon Rankins. Just let me check on.
Okay.
Sheldon Rankins is 305.
Okay.
He's not the same size as Rankins.
The texter was wrong.
Why do you, don't text us in and pollute people's brains with this stuff.
Okay.
He's Sheldon Rankins. So I had to double check. So I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? No. They're not the same size.
Gotcha.
At all. Gotcha. Like, not even close. It's not even. I'm not talking to you, Sean.
Yeah.
I'm talking to whoever texted that in. Do you understand? Steph Curry is 6'2". Is he the same size as Sheldon Rankins? Oh, 6'2".
Bigger than he used to be.
He's the same size. That's the same size as my Uncle Jim. 6'2", 132. Defensive tackle he is. Clear as day. Same size as Sheldon Rankins. Get a hold of yourselves, people.
We have multiple texts from people who work for Good Company. Who are absolving me of pronouncing it Goody Company, and invited us to the Armadillo Palace to dine and break bread.
I've eaten there plenty of times. It is awesome. Yeah. I've never taken a picture in front of the Armadillo.
Yeah, I guess that's something.
Usually, it's about 9 months in Houston. I'm not in the mood to take any picture outside.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna. I get enough of that at the pregame.
Yep.
I'm getting right into my vehicle. It's already started and cold before I get out of there. Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a what is today? Tuesday?
Same
Tuesday.
Size as Sheldon Rankins.
Tuesday. He's disgusted with you. I'm going to tell him right now. Seth is disgusted with you. All right, the 8-8. Let's get to it. The Astros.
I'm offended because I'm sitting here talking about how Marcus Harris is undersized, but like I would not be saying those same things about Sheldon Rankins. Yeah. It's just not, you're not even in the same boat. Okay.
Astros news, Tank Dell news, or at least video surfacing. We've got NBA playoff scores. Man, when was the last time these two guys were both knocked out of the playoffs this quickly? We'll tell you who and what coming up next in the 8 at 8. Stay there.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.